out! Put, 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 put!
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He is our friend. He is our teammate. He is a Packers legend. He is Jason Wilde. Good morning, Jason.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. What an honor it is and a privilege it is to be part of a fellow Friday. It has always been something I've wanted to be a part of.
We're trying out accents now?
My English accent.
Yeah, we're trying out accents. Like,
try it. Well, if you're going to call me a Packers legend.
Well, I mean, I just thought that was part of the proper introduction to you now.
Packers reporting legend, if you want to get it right. But yes.
Right.
I appreciate that. Yes, the great team at Channel 3 WISC TV in Madison did introduce me that way when they made the announcement of my employment. So that was, as I joked, that was wildly an overstatement, but it was kind of them to say.
Jason, I just want to put kind of a bow, because I know you and Tausch love putting bows on things.
Oh, we're big on the bows. Yeah, big bows.
Just putting a bow on the conversation we had yesterday about Brandon McManus. Do you believe that Brandon McManus will be a Green Bay Packer in 2025?
Not with any level of certainty, no. And this grab, I'm excited to go back to yesterday's conversation. I'll tell you that much. I don't get a... Like, I talked to Brandon McManus twice. I'm not the only one who got this sense in discussing this with my other Packers reporting legends. Like, he wasn't, like, super enthusiastic. Now, maybe I don't know him at all, right? Like, Chewy, after all the time that I covered you, I could read you pretty well, right? And I think I would say that about most of the guys that I covered. And obviously, Brandon McManus arrived in, what, mid-October?
Yeah.
Right? He had the walk-off against Houston. So maybe it's just that I don't know him at all, and I don't know how to read him, and it's unfair for me to use any of my personal experience with him to try and project whether or not he wants to be here or not. But for a guy that, as we know, was facing some adversity, perhaps self-inflicted adversity, over the allegations of his behavior on the Jacksonville Jaguars flight to London the previous season that led him to being released by Washington after Washington had signed him to a good contract. For a guy that, you know, really got a second chance because of the Packers' desperation at kicker. Because, look, if your guy, the Narv dog, is kicking the ball, well, he remains their kicker, and they never go out and get Brandon McManus, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for a guy that whose career was, I would say, resuscitated, now I'm guessing with the bad kicking around the league, he might have gotten opportunities elsewhere as well. But for a guy that got a second chance because the Packers needed him, I was expecting him to be a little more enthusiastic about the idea of wanting to come back in 2025, and he was kind of meh about it both times I asked him about it. And so, again, that doesn't mean anything. Maybe he's just a reserved guy who doesn't get super, you know, excited or isn't going to reveal much in interviews. But I just didn't get the sense that it was like, oh my God, I found my home here. And maybe he still comes back. But my point yesterday was that while he certainly was far better than the two young fellas that had kicked for them over the previous year and a half, you know, I don't know if that merits giving him $6 million or whatever it might be for him to return. And that's, you know, if Goody can get him back, because Goody has been clear that he does want him back, if he can get him back at $4 million a year, he will definitely do that.
Jason, I'm sure you saw the NFLPA report on how the players graded each franchise. If the current Packers graded their locker room a B, what would they give our locker room?
Well, it depends. I mean, you know, who's afraid of Wayne Simmons like I was? I think it was after you had moved on, but there was the classic Vaughn Booker getting into a physical altercation with a player while the media was in there. And I'm sure there were times where your locker room got pretty raucous.
I'm saying the report, Jason, they're not happy with, right?
Like the physical locker room.
The physical locker room, which I've been in, and it's like, oh my God. What I'm getting at, these players just pampered, like, to the nth degree?
Yeah, first of all, it's way more fun to talk about how Beer threatened to tell the wife of one of his teammates that he was having an affair, and that teammate threatened to gouge his eyes out. Or Jermaine Smith, when I was standing by Santana and Gilbert's lockers, informing me that I ain't talking today. Yeah, I ain't here to talk to you, bro. But in terms of the...
Jermaine Smith, I don't even know who that is.
Yeah, he was a backup defensive lineman, 99-ish.
Yeah.
Anyway, that would be more interesting. Well, yeah, apparently the Packers agree with the players about the locker room. Because I've been kicked out of my office for the offseason because they are renovating the primary locker room and all of the equipment area down there. We will have a new media auditorium because they are expanding the equipment area, and it is expanding right into our media auditorium. We're going to end up actually, the media auditorium will be the old team meeting room. They'll have a new team meeting room, and they are completely overhauling and renovating the entire Packers home locker room. So for the entire off-season program, the plan is for it to be done before training camp begins. But for the entire off-season program, the players will be using the new third locker room that they built up by where our offices are. And so, like, they've turned the common area for our offices into, like, a player's lounge, which I'm disappointed because I like to be able to walk out of my office and get my butt kicked in ping pong by Bo Melton, and I'm missing out on that opportunity. But apparently the players' feelings about the locker room, the Packers, either they have just so much money to burn or they agree with the players that they need a more updated, nicer, fancier, schmancier locker room. So,
Jason,
sorry, Chew, you lose this one.
Jason, where did you...
And by the way, your locker room was a dump, just to be clear.
It was, but I loved it. Jason, where did you hang back in our day? You know, because you were there for a while. Did you hang in the Lee Rimmel wing of the building?
So we had offices back then too, which, of course, my favorite story about my office during that era before the renovation in 02, 03, whatever it was when they built it. I think it was 03. I would always... Our offices were all along the side of the media auditorium. So if you've watched, you know, old stuff of like when Favre announced that he was going into rehab for his Vicodin, our offices were along the left. If you were sitting in the in the crowd looking up at the stage, our offices were along the left side there. And I would always leave my door open, which sometimes was a mistake because you had landline phones in there and it would ring during a press conference, then you look like a dink. But I left it open one day and for a Favre Wednesday presser, and I was in the locker room. I was going to come in late to Favre, and Favre looks, and I had this huge wall poster of Sheryl Crow, and she was wearing something that was, while not inappropriate, was a little revealing. And Favre sits down, and he looks, and he starts to answer a question, and he looks again, and he says, whose office is that? And somebody tells him, well, it's Wildy's. He's like, Wildy's? That's Sheryl Crow? I would have thought he'd have REM up on the wall, which I think is a reference to Michael Stipe, and I think you can follow the breadcrumbs there. So somebody tells me about it. So the next week, I printed like a 11 by 14 photo of the band REM, and I left it at the podium for when he came up to sit down, and he got a big kick out of that. So, that's my office story.
Jason, before we let you go, the talk of the combine isn't a player, it isn't a prospect, it isn't any general manager or coach that's spoken. No, it is Fox's Jordan Schultz, who allegedly and reportedly verbally accosted NFL Network's Ian Rappaport at a Starbucks, of all places. Have you ever been involved in any sort of altercation with your fellow media brethren?
I've been in some disagreements, and I've probably raised my voice once or twice.
Was this public or private? Did you do it behind closed doors, or did you do it in front of everyone at a Starbucks?
No, I mean, I had one or two in the locker room. The one thing that I would ask of people, and I am always, even if it's television or radio folks, if you have a one-on-one, I'm not going to interrupt it. Because I think that if you've made that connection, I think you should respect that. And usually that player, after you're done, especially if the person doing the one-on-one is respectful enough to realize, hey, other people are going to want to talk to him. But there have been a couple times when that's caused some issues for me. Here's my issue with this whole story, though. I don't know Jordan Schultz. I do occasionally go to Starbucks. I would say Ian Rappaport is, you know, like a tier 10 friend. Like, we've been friends for a long time, but I don't text him regularly. I definitely don't want any of those guys' lives. It's great that they make a ridiculous amount of money. I don't want their lives. I love my life.
Because you're always on. News can break at any moment.
Exactly. Now, my phone is on, and I am always paying attention to things. But if Sid is shooting a free throw...
Unless Randall Cobb happens to text you or send you a DM in the middle of the night.
In fairness, I was sleeping, thank you. For those that don't know that story, Randall Cobb gave me the scoop that he was coming back to the Packers, and I was asleep. And so I didn't see the text until the next
morning. Didn't get to
break it. Such a pro. Yeah. God, you guys are lucky to be my teacher. But I would just say this. One other thing that I try not to do is be a jerkweed about other people's reporting. And I like Ian a lot. I could not do his job, nor do I want it. But like that whole thing about Jordan Schultz reporting that Tom Brady and Matthew Stafford being together at some like ski resort or whatever in Montana, I thought that, look, that is a major story. Mm-hmm. And to just take the agent's word for it that, oh, they were there by happenstance, is crap. And I do have an issue with doing agents or teams bidding. And that's why, I'll be honest, it's one of the reasons why I'm not a complete hack. It's one of the reasons why I don't get a lot of scoops. Because I don't want to play the game. I don't. I don't want to carry water for people. And does that cost me in some ways? It does. But at the same time, like, you're telling me that there's nothing questionable about, and this is what Tom Brady has created by being a minority owner in a franchise. He can't just go skiing or whatever the hell they were doing with Matthew Stafford, who may or may not be traded and on his way out of the Rams, and his team needs a quarterback, and to just swallow the explanation that they both were there by happenstance. Maybe they were, but to suggest that it's completely irresponsible to have reported that they were together at this resort. I'm sorry. I don't know Jordan Schultz. I don't have no reason to defend him, but I'd have been pissed too. And I don't blame him for that. So you can make all your jokes about how his dad was the CEO of Starbucks and they argued at Starbucks and all that's great. And I know McAfee had a fun time with it. It was fun TV and radio. But if that happened to me, I would have probably said something too. Now, I'm not super confrontational, So I think the first words out of my mouth probably would have been, come on, man. Like, we've known each other a long time. Like, really? Like, come on. And I would have talked to him and not said, we're going to have a blanking problem. But, like, again, I just would caution folks from always just sort of taking hook, line, and sinker everything that is always reported out there.
Jason, always appreciate the time. Looking forward to hearing you and Tausch coming up at 9 o'clock this morning.
I might do the entire show in a British accent. Please, what do you think?
Please don't.
I'll take I'll take that advice from a okay. national radio host and choose not to do that. All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. It is Friday. It is time to talk to our pal, Craig Karmazin. He's next. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.